Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Off-Menu podcast, beating the egg of conversation, grating in the cheese of humour, pouring into the pastry case of the internet, and baking for approximately an hour to make a lovely podcast quiche.
Wow.
Happy with that?
Yeah, very happy with that. I thought for a second there you were making an omelette.
I think I might have done omelette before. That's
and
the only reason
I was like, nice little left turn there. Yeah, it's a quiche.
Yeah, it's a quiche. I don't think that's exactly how you make a quiche. I think there's some other elements to it, but...
Hey, you know that I don't know any better,
so
I believe you. That's Ed Gamble. My name is James Acaster. This is The Dream Restaurant. And we invite a guest every single week. And we ask them their favourite ever start, a main course, dessert, side dish and drink, not in that order. And this week our guest is... Taron Egerton,
a wonderful actor.
A wonderful actor. I love him in films such as Kingsman, Rocket Man.
Yes. Eddie the Eagle.
Oh, the trailer to Eddie the Eagle genuinely made me emotional.
Yeah.
Very, yeah. I thought it's a sweet story. Anyway, a true story. And rarely does a trailer get me in the feels, Ed.
And that's a hard thing to do with you because you are... You're an absolute rock, James.
I'm the Tin Man.
He's the Tin Man.
That's what everyone calls me.
The Tin Man.
The Tin Man.
You'd be a great Tin Man, actually.
Yeah, I would love it. Actually.
Paint your face up silver.
I would be
you're halfway there, I reckon.
Yeah, I'd be a good Tin
you're
Man
a proper
if I ever
tin
do
man. I
Wizard
like
of Oz again.
Yeah. Who would I be?
In Wizard of Oz?
Yeah.
There's not many handsome men in Wizard of Oz, is there, Ed?
Stop it, you.
So I don't really know. Don't even know who you
I'd happily have a crack at the lion.
Yeah,
energy-wise, I could have a bash at the lion.
I think Josh Whittaker would get the lion. Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, Benito has pointed out that Josh would be the scarecrow.
Yes.
And that's probably true.
Yeah.
But the lion, I don't know.
Can I not be the lion? Dorothy, maybe? Can I be Dorothy? Toto?
Could be little Toto.
This is another conversation where we... cast films with the British comedy circuit.
Yeah. We should just start up a new podcast. Anyway, we are going to kick him out if he says a secret ingredient. Am I right?
Yes, you are right, James. There is a secret ingredient. If Taron says it, he's out on his ear, which would be a shame because I think he's looking forward to this, James. He listens to the podcast.
He listens to the pod. We're very excited to have him on. It would be a shame to kick him off, but rules are rules. And this week, the secret ingredient is...
Turkish delight, but the chocolate bar.
But no, not the chocolate bar. The chocolate bar is good. Normal Turkish delight. The little cubes.
I love the little cubes.
They're bad.
I used to go on holiday with my family to Cyprus a lot, and it was such a great day when we go to the Turkish delight shop, or this, I believe, Cyprus delight, they would call it.
Okay.
And buy the little, all different flavours. The pistachio one, that's my favourite.
That's the worst one.
Open it up, so delicious, and it's all covered in the icing sugar. They're like travel sweets for the thinking man.
Right, well... The first time I had Turkish delight, I think it might have been the yellow one, maybe It was delicious, but very quickly, don't like Turkish Delight, but I do like the chocolate.
The chocolate bar's trash,
the chocolate
mate.
Bar's delicious. Trash. Fries, Turkish Delight.
Yeah, why are you covering in chocolate? No
Absolutely
need.
Absolutely delicious.
No need. So if he says either one, he's out.
Either one, but let's just say that, you know, the person who hates that particular type of Turkish Delight is the one who has to kick him out.
Okay, perfect. So that's a good deal.
Yeah, yeah.
Well done. Well, hopefully he won't say it anyway, because we're looking forward to meeting him. Taron is also in a very new, exciting TV show on Apple TV Plus called Blackbird, James.
A psychological thriller. I like psychological thrillers.
Me too.
Because you can use your head and your heart. You're thrilled. You're emotionally thrilled, but your head is going, I'm in this as well.
Yeah.
They're making me think.
So do watch Blackbird and you have a think and have a scare.
Yes.
Then this is the off-menu menu of Taron Egerton. Welcome, Taron, to the Dream Restaurant.
Thank you for having me. I'm very pleased.
Welcome, Taron Egerton, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
Here he is. He went big for you today. I felt the sound effect.
I felt the rush of air as you manifested.
Nice. What did you visualise? Well, what did you see? Tell us what you saw.
You, but with a sort of small cloth wrap in a sort of Y front shape.
When you say a cloth wrap...
Kind of like a, I suppose, like an old-fashioned nappy.
Like a nappy. Let's just say
good.
What it is.
It was a nappy.
Yeah.
I'll wear a nappy for it.
Yeah.
For a meal.
Like you would wrap cheese in the old days, sort of like cheesecloth sort of stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. With the sort of string, the metal string swinging around his head.
It'd be quite good to wear a nappy during a meal. You'd never have to leave the table.
Well, you'd never have to loosen your belt, would you?
No.
You could just expand with the nappy.
Never see a baby loosening its belt, do you? Imagine that.
Oh, God, sorry. Yeah, because I suppose all my knowledge of nappies really as a childless man come from the adverts, where you always see there's a sort of elasticated flex bit. Right?
Yes.
So they do grow with the baby.
Do you look at that and see...
That's almost like if the baby gets full.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I always visualise a nappy sort of moving around on its own. You know, because they show the absorbent qualities without the baby.
Yeah, sure.
So it sort of does like a little ballet pirouette thing.
Yeah.
So maybe, do you think, since you're a genie, perhaps your nappy could do that as well?
Oh, yeah, I'd have a magical nappy that moves around on its own.
So does it fly off you?
Yep.
A bit like Doctor Strange's cape.
Yeah, like Doctor Strange's cape. Yeah, and it can fight my battles for me sometimes and help me.
You get so excited at that idea.
Yeah. Well, because I was about to say, because my brain went to just like, when you said moving around on its own, because I'm a genie, I thought about the carpet in Aladdin, but Doctor Strange's cape is a much better reference.
Well, it's more 2022, isn't it?
Yeah. I really like that.
Why would you want a nappy that flies off on its own? That's the last thing you want a nappy to do, though, right?
If anyone ever attacks me, the nappy can defend me.
That's
like Doctor Strange's cape.
You could foil your foes with it.
Yeah.
But would it be soiled?
Yeah.
Someone would jump out, I would be scared, soil myself, and then the nappy would be like, get them.
Would you preserve your modesty as it's flying around?
No, I would you've got to use everything available to you to distract them and to get in their heads if they're attacking you. So
absolutely.
I've got to have my boy out and
Although I would, from the other perspective, I would say that if I was being attacked by a magical soiled nappy, I don't have time to look at someone's crotch.
No, you'd just be running for the hills.
I'd be running for the hills, just bang the nappy away.
Yeah.
Or like be wrapping around your face, you childless man.
Yeah.
How Ed refers, I didn't know Ed started referring to himself as that now, but it's interesting.
Well, I just wanted to let everyone know why I know about elastication.
You were setting the scene.
Nappies. I was setting the scene. Thank you, Taron.
Yes. Childless man.
You're a childless man.
Yeah, I'm a childless man, but I don't go around telling everyone, making it my identity.
That's not my identity. My identity within the world of nappies.
Childless man?
Yes, childless man. Very much a childless man.
Yeah. Three childless men.
Four, actually, if you count Benito, which people rarely do.
Yeah.
Benita's got a puppy now, though.
He's got a puppy.
Have you? What sort of dog? We've got two of those.
You got two cockapoos? You got the same dog as Benito?
Yeah. They're amazing, but they're full on. Very loving.
No, bad luck.
I think that's what Benito's finding. He's not getting much sleep at the moment. Considered a nappy?
Perhaps a nappy that could take them for walks.
Yeah, that would be good.
The dog's a strange nappy.
Or James's nappy.
Yeah, I'll lend you my nappy, Benito. Take your little cockapoo for a walk. Anyway, to cut all this out.
Yeah.
Anything to do with him doesn't go in.
Cockapoo's your special move with a nappy, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, great. Now you've got to keep it. That's a great joke. That brings everything together.
Either way you look it.
Would you consider yourself a foodie, Darren?
I feel like there are two sides to my nature. There's the side of me that appreciates nice food, well-constructed, with lots of thought put into it. Mm-hmm. And I do like to cook a little bit. But then there's the other side of me that's a kind of disgusting, gluttonous gannet that sort of doesn't really care what it is. It's more just about volume.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like a foodie kind of makes me think of somebody who's really quite academic and measured in what they do, and I wouldn't say that that's me all of the time.
But I think the gannet feeds into the foodie as well. I think that's a part of it.
Well, in which case, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, I think about food all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. And oscillate between being someone that eats quite well and someone that really, really doesn't eat well.
Is that because acting you have to eat well?
I think it depends what you're doing. Last year, I played a part where I had to be in good shape, so I had to think about it for quite a long period of time. Mm-hmm. And it was hard. It's really, really hard.
Yeah.
And boring. And boring how much you think about it, because if you think about it all the time, it means you talk about it all the time and no one cares.
And if you're eating that healthily, you must be thinking about the other stuff that you want to eat all of the time. And I've done like periods of eating very healthily. I'm on a downward slope now. I'm just eating whatever I like, which is beautiful.
Yeah.
But do you do the thing of watching YouTube videos or thinking about everything you want to eat or looking at menus online when you're eating healthily?
So what, you watch people eat the foods that you wish you could eat?
Yeah.
Then when he's reading menus online, he texts me to tell me that he's doing it. I'm joining with him.
Really?
Yeah.
You bring James into your fantasies.
Yeah, exactly. I've got to legitimise them.
How does your wife feel about that?
She's fine with it. She understands. Cool. Yeah. She gave up
long ago.
She doesn't want me to call her through and go, look at this menu.
Yeah.
All right, are we going to go there? No, I can't.
No, I want to tell James about it. Have you ever just gone online just to read a menu?
Probably not without intending to go and eat there, sure. I don't think. And sometimes I feel like that's cheating as well, because I feel like it's quite nice to get to a place and share in the moment of opening the menu. Do you know what I mean?
Interesting, yeah.
And I sometimes feel like when I get there and someone said, oh, I've already looked at the menu, I feel like it's the kid who flicked to the back of The Order of the Phoenix. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And goes, I know what happened. And I sort of go, well, you just did. I don't know if I can swear, but it's annoying, isn't it?
You can swear.
You
can
swear. You're a wanker.
Yeah, a wanker.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Because you've subverted.
Yeah.
What everybody else
is. I see what you mean, because I do that. Yeah. And I'm the guy
quite a bit of judgment, actually.
Yeah, fair. Apparently, this is an amazing thing they do here, and I've looked at the menu and they have that today, so we should definitely order that.
Right.
I do that, and that is like you've cut out a whole portion of the evening.
Well, yeah, it's part of the ritual, isn't it?
Yeah.
But there's something quite nice about getting there and having that moment of, because it's so much about communion, isn't it? And, you know, I've got a very close relationship with my family. We've always cooked together, and there's something very sort of social about it. I do buy into that, the whole Jamie Oliver school of it being the time to be together. And I think going out and looking at a menu is kind of an extension of that.
You know? Yeah, I like that.
I think you're right, I like that. I'm going to stop looking at menus online now.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And are you going to stop telling everyone that Sirius Black dies?
No way, man.
Every meal, that's how it starts.
The thing is, I think enough people listen to this podcast that will have ruined it for someone.
Yeah. Some people go, what the fuck? Ed sits down at the start of every meal and he goes, Bellatrix Lestrange kills him.
She pushes him through a curtain.
Yeah, is she really? Rubs it in everyone's face as well.
Dobby's dead and we're having the pork.
Yeah. Still a sparkling water, Taryn.
So, I thought about this. And I think on this occasion, I'm going still.
Okay.
I like sparkling water for the same reasons everybody else does. It feels like a sort of like a gentler cousin of champagne, doesn't it? It feels like an event.
Yeah.
You know, it sort of somehow feels like it should cost 10 times the amount of still water, even though it's just had some gas pumped through it.
Sure.
But I think when you come to the Dream Restaurant, you need to be thinking about the amount of food you can cram inside yourself. Mm-hmm. And I know there's magic at play and the normal rules of physics don't apply, but the association of drinking sparkling water, I think, will make me feel fuller,
yeah,
quicker. And I want to bed into the experience and make sure that I've got a real cavernous, empty space that I can just fill with all the foods I enjoy. So I'm going still.
I think that's very, that's sound logic.
Oh, totally sound logic. And I love to hear about sparkling water being the gentler cousin of champagne.
Do you know what I mean, though? Yeah. It still feels like an event.
I'm imagining a gathering of the fizzy family now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's look at the family tree.
Yeah. It's very, 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 very mild-mannered.
Yeah, yeah.
Very non-committal when it comes to opinions about things that are happening in the world.
Whereas champagne is like, oh, I got so many things to say.
Yeah.
This guy.
Yeah. There's champagne.
He sounds like a nightmare.
In the fizzy family tree, then, like, where are you putting ginger beer in relation to champagne?
I feel like
not doing a voice for that, by the way.
Ginger beer, like maybe an older uncle who sometimes says things that aren't entirely appropriate.
Yeah.
But he's really well-meaning.
Yeah.
And he's just a product of another time.
Yeah.
But you know, you'd probably have a moment to think before you invited him to every, family event.
Yeah, is this are you thinking fiery ginger beer in particular?
Exactly here, like that.
He loses his head sometimes, but
just a bit. Yeah. He just gets a bit overexcited. Yeah. He doesn't get out much.
Yeah.
You know,
doesn't.
No.
Yeah, a bit dusty. Back of the shelf.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And when he gets there, do you know there's those people in your life? There's people in your life you've not seen for ages, and your heart rate doesn't change when you see them, and it's lovely, and it's like a true friend. But you know there are those people in your life where you see them and you go, okay, all right, here we go. And you just have to slightly adjust.
Yeah.
And they're probably the people in your 30s you gently maybe don't see as much of. I feel like Uncle Ginger Beer may be one of those people.
You want to name names?
It's probably best they don't, I think.
Yeah. Does champagne have any children, or is it a childless drink?
Well, so when I was a little boy, I remember that my great grandmother, who I called Nin, she used to call me, it was very strange, she used to call me Sailor, and when everybody else was having a drink at family do's or whatever, she'd always give me like sparkling grape juice, a bit like what's that thing that they get out at Christmas for people who don't drink.
Schlur.
So it wouldn't be.
Oh, this might be the first Schlur mentioned on the podcast.
You love Schlur, right?
I love Schlur. It's hilarious.
So I suppose maybe. I mean, she wouldn't have given me Schlur. It would have been like a sort of, you know, a Safeway's own version of
an off-brand Schlur.
Off-brand, yeah. But I feel like that could be a child of champagne.
Yeah, I think so.
The innocent version of champagne.
Yeah, little sort of cute champagne. Little
come
baby.
And drink me. That's not going wrong.
Yeah, I think Schlur is so funny.
Yeah.
Every time, it rarely comes up that people have got Schlur, but when they bring it up, in fact, they have to say it. So we have Schlur, if you'd like. What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, there is a benefit to Schlur, though, because as much as I like champagne, like most people do, my mouth tastes of arse afterwards.
Yeah.
Do you know what? It's so horrible, the breath champagne gives people.
Yeah.
So for that reason alone, I think Schlur's worth a punt.
Yeah. Poppadoms or bread? Poppadoms or bread, Tavin Edgerton? Poppadoms or bread?
Okay, Poppadoms.
Yeah,
Poppadoms. God, that did frighten me. You knew it was coming.
He's getting better at... Now we're back in rooms with people.
Yeah.
You are getting better at sneaking up on people.
And also getting better when I know that the person has listened before, so therefore expects it.
Yeah.
And I was like, right, you know, I've made it feel like we're talking about Schlur for a while, which I wanted to, by the way. So I've kind of like, annoyed myself there.
Yeah, you've cut the Schlur conversation.
No, but it was good because it was offbeat. It was a jazz attack.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask Taryn if Nin called anyone else Sailor or if it was just you.
As far as I can remember.
That was a detail that we let slide.
Yeah.
As far as I can remember, it was just me. Yeah. But I remember at the time it making me feel like a rock star. Little boy.
Yeah, little boy bottle of Schlur.
There you go, Sailor. Yeah.
Here he comes, the Sailor.
Exactly.
The Schlaler.
Yeah, Schlaler.
Nah, it doesn't quite work, but, you know, we'll work on it.
The Schlurler?
Schlurler, yeah.
Yeah, that's much better. Yeah,
we'll have that. We'll have that. So the reason I've opted for Pop... Because Poppadoms, every time I listen to the show, I do think there is something really incongruous about having Poppadoms if the rest of your meal isn't centred around Indian food.
Sure.
But mine is.
Little clue.
So I am gonna have Poppadoms with mango chutney, raita, all that lime chili,
yeah,
all that good stuff. Yeah.
That's good.
And I was trying to think, is that, because when I was thinking about it, I was trying to figure out, is there a posh version of poppadoms that makes me sound like I'm a culinary kind of whiz? Do you know what I mean? Uh-huh. That I've eaten somewhere really interesting.
Yeah.
But I do slightly feel that once you've had one poppadom, you've had them all.
Well, they do the spicy ones sometimes. You go somewhere and say, you're plain or spicy.
I prefer the plain.
I do as well. I do. And I also, my favourite use of a poppadom is not the sort of, not the crack and snap and dip, the classic move.
Yeah.
I like to take a whole poppadom, smush it in my hands, and then crumble it over a curry.
Oh, okay.
You're using it as a condiment more than anything, really.
Yeah, a bit like a sort of substitute for fried onions, you know, something to give it a bit of texture, a bit of crunch. So I'm going to have poppadoms instead of bread, and I'm going to keep a little bit back for the crumble, yeah.
But you are eating a little bit of it just in the traditional poppadom style.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
You're saving some.
I'm keeping it real versatile. I'm going to use it as the traditional sort of, you know, take a little square and nibble. But then also crumble it on like a sort of garnish, like a crispy garnish.
I've seen people do the crispy garnish, and I do respect it every time.
Do you?
Yeah.
It takes quite a lot of bravery to take a hot, because it's a big old thing. You can't do it discreetly, and it makes a big noise. Yeah. So I feel like if you've got to do it, you've got to own it.
Yeah.
You've got to sort of act like you're Brian Blessed or something, you know.
Especially if you're quite a quiet Indian restaurant as well, like late night where there's not many other people in there.
Yeah.
There's sort of soft music playing in the background. And then suddenly,
yeah, exactly. I always wonder, actually, when I listen to this show, what the who the other guests are. You know?
Well, this is up to you. Look, this is your dream meal. If you want to be eating alone, fine. If you want other guests in there, fine.
Well, I sort of always imagine that it's kind of like the background cast of the movie Disney's Robin Hood. You know, sort of animals dressed up in kind of, you know, medieval costumes, having larks.
But the background cast, you don't want the main players.
Absolutely not. No, I don't want anyone to pull focus.
Background cast of the animated Robin Hood, who are animals dressed.
Exactly. And they're all doing slightly the same thing over and over again, you know? The same sort of action on repeat in the hope that you won't notice.
You're such an actor that you have extras in new restaurants and no one pulls focus. No other stars in here, please.
Yeah. No foxes.
Can't have stars. I know a few stars that you wouldn't invite to dinner.
Really?
Yeah. Helena Bonham Carter, Daniel Radcliffe, Gary Newman.
Yeah. Gary Newman.
Gary Oldman.
Gary Newman was not in any of the Harry Potter franchise films.
But they would all ruin it for you, wouldn't they? They'd turn up and tell you what happens at the end of Order of the Phoenix.
Yeah. I suppose so.
So you can't risk it. You can't risk that.
Yeah.
What specific animals? Do you any specific background animals?
It makes me think of, perhaps like an alligator blowing a long trumpet.
Yeah. Okay.
Does that conjure an image?
And that's not going to pull focus?
Huh? Yeah, that's going to come on.
It's already
that's going to drown out the conjure of the poppadoms, at least.
No, because I've...
Are you pre-arranging with the alligator?
Go, I was going to get him to mime. But actually, what I might do is get him to toot every time I crunch a poppadom.
That's a great idea, That's a really good idea. Yeah. Cool. That would work in so many situations.
What, if you had an alligator following your hands?
Yeah, with a trumpet.
Tooting. Whenever you farted, maybe.
Whenever you farted, or... Like, in some... Japanese toilets, you can play music that's supposed to cover up the sound of you going to the toilet if you're like in a line of cubicles.
Yeah. Wow.
So instead, you could take the alligator to...
And what would you do? Would you give him a signal? Would you give him a wink?
I think
he'd know.
He's got to be watching. He's got to have his eye on that
part. I think he's in the cubicle.
Well, that's what he's being paid for. Are you paying him or is he... You must be paying him.
Not initially.
Right.
And we'll see how he does.
So he has a sort of phase where he's...
What's his motivation for doing it in the first place? Not
it's
initially.
A good job, man.
How's he earning a living? Well, it's not a good job if he's not getting bloody paid, is it?
If he does a good job, then I'll pay him.
If I prove my worth, I'm going to get paid for this.
Yeah.
Alligators are living creatures too, as well, you know.
All right, fine. Ed. Yeah. All right, I'll give him a quid or something.
A quid for every Trump.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's a lot of money, actually.
Yeah.
If you've ever been around Ed. Most of the editing Benito has to do is get rid of Ed's flatulence.
Every time it cuts to the little music in between the sections.
That's a fart.
Yeah.
There's no editing there. That's just, we're still sat here and I've just done a really long fart.
Also, Ed's farts are extra loud because every time he does them, he goes, oh! Like that as well. He goes, oh! Yeah, because they're taken by surprise.
I'm always scared by them.
Yeah, and you get really surprised by them, don't you?
Surprised and slightly excited by
them. Yeah. The sensation he wasn't expecting. Yeah,
every time it's a new sensation.
Yeah.
So I'd have to pay the alligator quite a lot of money, I think.
Yeah.
It'd be a lot of work. Yeah.
If I had a quid every time Ed Gamble farted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like classic.
I'd be an alligator with a trumpet.
The starter, your dream starter.
Yeah, okay, so I was torn between two things, but I decided on there's a restaurant in Soho called Social Eating House. Mm-hmm. Do you know?
Yeah.
And the chef there is a guy called Paul Hood, and it's actually the last few times for the past couple of years it's not been on the menu, but he used to do this thing, and I think it was kind of a signature thing he did, and it was called Mushrooms in a Bag.
Have you had that? No.
And he sort of brings out, or someone from his team brings out a little toast rack with pieces of really nice, I think, sourdough toast with a kind of mushroom pate smeared on the top of it. Spread is probably a nicer word when you're eating it. But then also he brings out a bag of mushrooms that have been steamed in a kind of little folded plastic bag that they cut open in front of you. And then you put the mushrooms on the toast, chop it up and eat it. And it's got a really nice amount of theatre to it that it doesn't feel. It's not like, you know, when someone brings out something that's on fire or you've got to crack into it and there's five layers and it just sort of all of a sudden hits a different part of your brain from the food bit.
Yeah,
there's just a really nice little bit of theatre to this, and you all take a piece from the middle and it's just lovely and it's completely delicious. But he took it off the menu. I've not been in a couple of years actually, and I don't know why he did that. Mm-hmm. But it's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
It sounds amazing. It sounds like that sort of thing you're looking for as well, that communal...
Exactly, yeah.
...sort of fun thing. You're all getting involved and you're all doing something. And,
I really like food that's not... Like, I've had meals that have been, you know, really intricate and things that have got incredible sort of craftsmanship in the construction of them. And it's a really nice experience, but I don't like it as much as I like everyone mucking in, get involved, you know, lots of people... Sploshing stuff around. Do you know what I mean? On a Saturday night.
A bit of a splosh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Splosh. A bit of a, like a splosh, a sploshy dinner. I prefer a sploshy dinner.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the best meal I've ever had was Longclume. And before we started recording, we were talking about the trip. And that's where I saw that. And I thought, I've got to go and try that place. And I went. And it was the best meal. It was incredible. Mm. But I wouldn't want it every day.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's special occasions.
It's a really special occasion. Yeah. It's like the kind of thing I think you do once every few years to celebrate a special occasion or something. But yes, back to Mushrooms in a Bag. It's just got a real wholesome loveliness to it. But it's just phenomenally delicious. And if it's not on the menu and he's listening, he should definitely bring it back.
Yeah.
And that's the Jason Atherton restaurant, right? He's got a few
I think
of those
it
places.
Is, yeah.
I have been there.
Because he's got a pizza place as well, I think, that he opened somewhere.
Yeah.
I think.
He's got Little Social as well, which is across the road.
Right.
That's shut now, but yeah.
And the bar upstairs, which is called The Pig or something.
Is it The Blind Pig?
I think it might be. It's a good name for it because you can't really see up there.
Yeah, exactly. No, that restaurant is phenomenal. I've not had the Mushrooms in a Bag. That sounds great.
I never had that. Also, all the background animals are going to be excited when they hear Paul Hood's in the kitchen.
They're going to be great.
Yeah. We
know your cousin.
Yeah.
We know your gentler cousin.
I don't know. Paul Hood sounds like the gentleman of the cousins, actually.
I think Paul Hood's the gentler cousin, making mushrooms in the bag.
Robin Hood's the rich and giving to the poor.
Robin, he's got good intentions, but he's full on.
He's not the gentler.
Yeah.
I actually think Robin Hood would be one of those people, if I saw them at a family gathering, I'd be like, oh, here we go.
Yeah, oh no.
He's going to bang on about
how
take from the rich
altruistic
the poor
he is. Yeah.
He'd be a nightmare on Twitter, that bloke.
He would. He'd get a lot of hate.
Yeah.
It wouldn't go well for him.
For all the nice things he's doing, or for the virtue signal.
Virtue signal, Robin Hood. I think I've been there once, Social Eating House. Very nice. And I keep on, like, I'd say it's the main place that I've been turned away from the most amount of times. Because I just haven't learned that you should book ahead, and I chance my luck every time and just get told no. Yeah.
It's nice that they do really nice things with bread. They do little, again, communal. You can buy like a jar of something, and they do a coleslaw, which has got truffle in it, and it's really, it's like the the carrot and the it's cabbage, isn't it, in Cosworth? It's all really chunky and it's just amazing and really rich and fatty and lovely. And they bring a little basket of bread, or I think they might bring a loaf of bread, and you sort of tear bits off and scoop bits out. And then they do a, I think they do a pate as well, or duck roulettes, I think is the
thing
they do.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And they're really nice. You can buy a couple of them for the table, and then you all muck in and share. And
oh, nice. They're back there.
What kind of mushrooms are they in the bag? Are you got button mushrooms, or are they the
no.
ones? They're the ones that like, look mad.
No, it's one of the.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, totally.
There might be a little mix, but certainly more of a foragey vibe. I think
wild mushrooms.
I think so.
Yeah. The ones that look mad.
Not the ones that look mad. That's what you want. Is the ones where like
the ones,
not
the ones that feel a bit dangerous.
Yeah, they all look different. Yeah. You know, they kind of like got that quite a meaty quality to them.
Yes.
The ones that look like a big trumpet.
The
alligator's
happy. There he is. He's straight in there. Get out of the bag.
Stop popping on my mushroom.
Yeah.
Stop covering up my farts.
And you're not, just to be clear, you're not crunching up your poppadom over this.
No.
Would you be tempted? Because it's sat there. It's ready to be crunched.
Yeah.
No, because I think the bread is toasted really nicely. So I feel like the different textures are all pretty well figured out.
Yeah.
Whereas, not to say I'm reinventing the curry or anything, but I do think there is a level of elevation to put in a poppadom on a curry. I think it gives it an extra dimension of crunch.
Sure.
Whereas the it might even be called seps in a bag or something fancy. You know?
Okay, yeah.
That, I feel like they've got it pretty well figured out. Don't think it needs augmentation.
Nice.
Yeah, that's the thing in those kind of places. Like, if you went to Longclume or somewhere like that, you wouldn't be adding stuff. You wouldn't be going...
No.
I'll tell you what this needs. And
no.
Who's got that hot sauce? You got hot sauce in your bag?
Yeah. I'm a bit like that with mayonnaise.
Yeah?
Yeah. Big jar of Hellman's. You know, people like... I think particularly in America, certain parts of America, they'd have a little bottle of hot sauce in the bag.
Yeah.
I'd love my own bag just for a jar of Hellman's mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Maybe purpose built, you know, in the
what,
shape.
What are you putting it on?
Putting it probably like a leather belt or something.
I mean, what food are you putting it on?
I prefer your answer though, Tanner.
I really prefer
You're
that.
You're so into it.
You've got a leather belt.
A leather belt. A leather belt just the jar.
Just the jar. Just a jar. Yeah. A bit like I'm off to catch frogs or something. Maybe with a couple of little side sections, perhaps for like a maybe a butter knife.
Yeah.
And then also perhaps some anti, you know, like surface wipes so that I can just wipe it off, so I'm not putting a mayonnaise knife back in the
makes sense.
Doesn't it?
If you're gonna
go to that level, you might as well really think it through and bring
maybe
it
maybe a little golden mayonnaise spoon or something.
I've got one of them. I've got a golden teaspoon on a chain that I can put around my neck.
Yeah, for that's for ice cream though.
It's for ice cream.
Yeah,
yes, you've got an ice cream thing, haven't you?
Yeah.
You know that does look like a Coke thing though, right?
Yeah, everyone told me that. But like, I got given it for Christmas. It was a callback to something that to the Jason Reitman episode, I think.
Yeah,
which I'd forgotten about because it'd been so long since we recorded it. So my mum got it for me. I was like, I don't know what have I been given this. And she had to tell me about my own podcast. And now, I've got it hanging up in my kitchen.
I remember that. I listened to that one. He directed Ghostbusters, right?
He did.
That's right.
So I can use that spoon now.
Yeah, nice.
But maybe for your Christmas, you're going to be unwrapping a mayo belt.
Maybe, yeah.
I do like the idea of the leather crossbody bag, but instead of the bag, it's just a massive jar of Hellman's.
Yeah. Like quite a hobbity vibe.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A bit like you should be walking around with furry bare feet with it.
Yeah.
And a sort of quizzical look.
It's not like a Robin Hood vibe either.
No, exactly. Well, that's the sort of more where you could sort of flip it round, couldn't you?
Yeah.
And then it would feel quite rock and roll, like it's a quiver.
Yeah. Mayonnaise in a quiver, would you consider?
Mm.
I think it depends if you've got the right utensil to be able to easy access it. If you had a big long spoon and you could sort of do the action of removing it from the quiver and scoop it out and put it straight in your mouth.
I think that'd be good.
I'm definitely into that. It's like you're grabbing an arrow and then it's just a spoon.
I think you'd have to have a spoon in the jar already.
Yeah,
so
definitely, yeah.
So that you're reaching back like an arrow, you're pulling the spoon out, eating it, and then you put it back into the jar.
So maybe more like a ladle because of the angle that it's entering in on.
Because otherwise you're flicking mayonnaise over everyone.
Otherwise it's a disaster. Yeah. You're going to piss off the other guests in the restaurant.
The alligator's catching an eyeful.
The alligator's quitting.
That's a disaster, yeah.
My eyes! that's the alligator.
Yeah. This isn't worth a quid every 10 minutes.
But what food you put it on?
I mean, I'll put it on quite a lot. I mean, if it's like say I'm hungover and I'm having a curry, I mean, I'll introduce mayonnaise to a curry.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Or I'll put it on. I mean, people who don't put mayonnaise on pizza drive me up the wall.
What?
I don't.
Hold on a second.
So I.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean, actually. People who don't put jam on a burger annoy me.
You can't, Taron, you can't pitch that as a universal gripe.
No, I can't.
You know these people?
I can. Look, the history books are full of people everyone said was mad until they invented the light bulb or something.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, this is similar.
It's exactly like that. You know, if you've got a pizza, particularly I feel if it's like a frozen pizza that's a bit uninspiring, if you take a big old dollop of mayonnaise from a jar and you just spread it on top like butter over a crumpet, I promise you, it's going to take that thing to the next level.
Listen.
You've got to just expand the way you're thinking, because the components are the same as a sandwich. It's bread, it's a tomato sauce, it's meat, it's veg. Yeah. It's all the same thing. Yeah. It's just in a slightly different form. And you would never go, you're putting mayonnaise on a sandwich, you heathen.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But listen, I'm open to the idea. I like that you do it. I think the issue that we had is people who don't put mayonnaise on a pizza do my head in. Like, because that's everybody except you, Taron.
Okay, all right. Okay, well, perhaps I may have been a little bit overzealous in the introduction of the idea, but I would encourage everyone to try it.
Oh.
So when you're preparing for a film role and being healthy, it's pretty easy. You just cut out mayonnaise slathered pizzas.
If that's the way I lose the first stone.
Because I like, when you're ordering a pizza and sometimes you can get dips and stuff. Yeah. And sometimes you'll be able to get like a sriracha mayo or something like that to dip the crust. I love that.
Yeah.
And then I thought maybe Taron means like a drizzle all round. Like, you know, sometimes
I'll do that as well.
You'll do that. But at no point did I expect you to say you're getting the mayo and you're spreading it over the full surface of the pizza like an extra topping.
Like, and I do quote, a crumpet.
Like
a crumpet.
I mean, it does depend in what mode I'm in. But yeah, if I'm really going for it, that's perfectly possible.
Is that hangover food, right?
That's hangover food. Yeah. You know, when it feels like tomorrow's never going to come anyway, so it doesn't matter. And then inevitably Monday morning does come and you feel disgusting.
And not only are you still hungover, you've had a mayonnaise covered crumpet pizza.
Exactly. And you're wondering why you're sat in your flat alone.
we did a pizza collab with Yard Sale Pizza.
Oh, nice.
I reckon you'll be getting a call from them soon.
Do you think?
Being like,
what, to maybe develop a pizza purposed mayonnaise?
I think it would be good of them to do like the option for all their pizzas that if you want, you can go Taron.
Right.
So, like, do you want that Taron?
Taron style.
Yeah, Taron style, and then they spread the mayo on it.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out if that's great or terrible.
Yeah.
Do I want that to be my legacy?
I feel like you've got other stuff that you can consider as part of the legacy. I don't think this will completely eradicate everything you've done up until now.
So it could just be a corner of...
Yeah, sure. It'll be a subsection on Wikipedia.
Right.
But it'll be at the bottom.
Wow.
Taronaise or whatever.
Yeah. Taronaise.
That's good.
Taronaise pizza.
I would be interested in developing my own mayonnaise. That is something that I'd be proud of. Yeah, absolutely.
Your own mayonnaise.
Maybe with like interesting Welsh eggs or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Interesting Welsh egg mayonnaise.
Interesting Welsh egg mayonnaise.
That's a great name.
Interesting Welsh egg mayonnaise.
Yeah. So we've got Taronaise. That's in the bank.
At the very least, it could be the album name for my first album.
Yeah.
Interesting Welsh egg mayonnaise.
Yeah. That's quite, I'd expect it to be pretty experimental, that album.
Yeah.
Your legacy is absolutely signed and sealed now.
Do you think?
You've got it. The mayonnaise, the album.
Congrats.
All the films, obviously.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but yes. My wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Your dream main course. Now, we kind of already know what this is going to be, in a way.
Yeah.
Ed, do you want to guess what kind of curry we're talking here?
I think it might be on the spicier side.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because you're saying when you're hungover, you might add mayonnaise to it. I don't think anyone, no matter how hungover someone was, surely not adding mayonnaise to a korma.
No, because that's too rich, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, hold on. We're guessing.
Okay, you're guessing. All right, okay.
This is a perfect guessing game.
Okay.
Lambuna.
I was thinking of going down the lamb route as well, but I was thinking maybe like lamb jalfrezi.
Lamb madras.
Oh, we did all right.
We did all right.
I don't think that's bad going at all. What led you both to lamb then?
Racism.
Yeah, fair
enough. Okay.
Are you like, that was what?
No, fair enough.
Also, I would personally go for lamb.
Yeah, I think
that
I would probably, most of the time, I just go for chicken curries, but I do think if it's a special meal, if someone's picking it as their dream main,
yeah,
I would expect, cause I mean, lamb curries, when done well, are the nicest.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
But easy to screw up as well.
I agree. And I think it ties into what you said about putting mayonnaise on a korma. I think the thing about having lamb in a curry is it totally depends on what the base of your sauce is.
Yeah.
Because I think, like, having a cream-based sauce for a lamb curry is, I think, quite a lot, because the meat is, like, if you use shoulder, quite fatty.
Yeah, yeah.
So the specific curry that I'm thinking of is one that I cook, and also my mum and my stepdad cook. And what's lovely about it is it's all done from scratch, but it kind of comes up different every time, you know? And there's something really lovely about that. It feels like it's sort of constantly in flux, and you're not constantly reaching for some sort of precision dish that you get tired of, because it always comes up a bit different depending on how many chilies you use, what type of chilies, whether they're fresh or dried. But the one I'm thinking of, I have to say, that's something that I would do if people were coming over to the flat or whatever, but I'm specifically imagining one cooked by my mum, obviously, and it's really, really, really gorgeous. It's the kind of thing you cook over sort of 3 hours probably, and it's a blended onion base with chopped tomatoes. So you fry up spices with the onions, chili and garlic with the onions, and then you fry the meat in the spices. And then you introduce both to each other and sort of slow cook it over a few hours. And it's really, really good. Yeah.
That sounds very nice.
Is there a specific time where you were like, oh, that's my favourite version of this that you want at this dream meal? Or will you take whatever version happens to crop up?
Well, I guess it's probably as much as anything about the people you're with. So quite often I'll spend a few months away from home. But whenever I go home and I'm in the house with my family, there's something that's really special about having a dinner like that, and it's something that they will cook because I'm coming home, you know, because it kind of fills the house when you arrive, and it feels like a Friday night thing or a Saturday night thing. Everyone's having a couple of beers, and typically, you know, mum or my stepdad guy would do a dal with it and a raita, you know, and poppadoms. Well, they wouldn't make poppadoms, but they'd make the other things. And that's, I don't know, it's just a sense of coming home and family. And yeah, I just think Indian food done well is amazing.
Yeah.
It's really clear how important it is to eat with your family.
Yeah.
But when we asked you the guest list, all you said was that it was background characters from Robin Hood.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, when I'm on a podcast, it's not about them, is it? It's about them.
Yeah.
Taking a full focus,
aren't
they?
Yeah, exactly.
No, that sounds lovely.
Yeah.
And I can totally, I can feel it. I can see it when you walk in and the smell hits you and then you see everyone for the first time in a few months. Beautiful.
Exactly. I do have an honourable mention, though.
Please.
And it's quite... I don't know what the polite way of putting it is. It's junky.
Yeah.
It's proper junky. And there's a place in my hometown, and it's called Lip Licking Fried Chicken.
Yeah.
Lovely.
It's been there for a very, very, very long time. It's ran and operated by one family from the area. And it's just somewhere I've been going since I first started going out with my mates. Mm-hmm. And I still love it. It's the kind of thing you probably shouldn't have that often because I don't think it would be described as health food.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But it's fried chicken with chips, loads of mayo. Of course. They often put like grated mozzarella all over it.
Uh-huh. Why
and
not?
There's something that they do there which is just like a chicken sandwich with a hash brown in it and cheese and chopped lettuce and mayo. And I can't figure out if it is the most delicious thing I've ever eaten or if it's just kind of the flavour of my childhood or my teenage years, and that's why I always keep going back to it.
Yeah.
But that is something that I did also consider, but I think perhaps the curry is probably much nearer to my heart, you know? Mm-hmm.
I think that's a better choice as well.
Yeah,
that
right,
feels like a better choice.
Yeah.
But having said that, Lip-Licking Fried Chicken sounds great.
Sounds great. And the first, you know, we said it before in the podcast, the first fried chicken you have, blows your mind. So that was the first taste you had of fried chicken.
It probably was. Probably was. Yeah.
And, it's pretty mind-blowing. Mm. And the introduction of the hash brown. I used to be a Zinger Tower Burger boy.
Yeah.
That was my order at KFC.
Why did that change?
I used to go every Friday to KFC with my friend Graham and watch Extreme Sports on the TV and have a Zinger Tower Burger.
Oh, nice.
When I was 17 to 18, probably.
James didn't discover alcohol until later in life.
Yes.
Yes, I think I knew that.
Yeah. So we'd have that for lunch.
Which is why him and Graham used to watch Extreme Sports and have a Zinger Tower Burger every Friday.
Right. They showed Extreme Sports in the KFC, so that's why we watched it, because it was on TV.
You would sit in KFC with your Zinger Tower Burger and watch
Extreme
Sports. Yeah,
because we were going to college nearby, and we would leave at lunch, go to the KFC, watch the Extreme Sports and eat the Zinger Tower Burgers.
Nice.
And very excited about it. And then I think I changed from it to the Zinger Wrap.
Right. Because it's lighter?
Just got into wraps big time.
Okay.
You know, like
The wrap phase.
I hadn't really ever had wraps. I'd had sandwiches like just all the way through school.
Yeah.
Sandwiches are a big thing, aren't they? Yeah. All the way through school.
Sure.
You're just having sandwiches.
Yeah.
And my mum never made me a wrap. And suddenly I was like, this is amazing. These wraps are so cool.
How did your mum feel about that when you said,
I didn't tell her about the Extreme Sports either. I kept it all secret.
She thought you were having sandwiches and watching Mild Sports.
She didn't know. Yeah. Wow. But yeah, I just really got into wraps for a bit. And then they brought out popcorn chicken. And I got very excited about the popcorn chicken and loved that. And always had to have a box of popcorn chicken with the main KFC order.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Did you ever, you know, the one that I always loved at KFC, and I don't know if they still do it, do you remember the Big Daddy box meal?
Oh, I know the name.
And it had a very specific burger in it with a very specific sauce that you couldn't get independently.
You had to
of the box of the Big Daddy box meal.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking that was quite special, and always feeling slightly frustrated that you had to get it as part of this epic big combo with loads of things, which was probably, you know, by KFC standards, quite expensive as well.
Yeah. I think I've only had KFC maybe four times in my whole life.
That's amazing.
Really?
Incredible.
I don't know. It was just never never on the agenda when I was a kid. But then when I started working in a pub, there was a Favourite Chicken opposite. And I would finish my shift and immediately go to Favourite Chicken and get basically the equivalent of a Zinger Tower Burger.
Right.
It's so good.
Well, you would like KFC then.
Yeah. No, I would like it.
Yes.
Yeah.
When did your mum start making this curry? Because, like, I'm always interested when family recipes, you know, like family staple dinners crop up, and then how it becomes your favourite and how it becomes a thing of, like, that's what we make in town when he comes home.
So there's a specific cookbook, kind of like a sort of, I think, what seems like a sort of quite traditional Indian family cookbook that I think was my stepdad's. And she met my stepdad when I was 14.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it may be something that he brought in. And I suspect my mum has probably refined her process of doing it in a way. He still does it a lot as well, and he's very, very good. But he's somebody who would not necessarily really pay that much attention to a recipe and is kind of quite freestyle in the way he cooks. And it still comes up great, but it's just it just feels different to the way, you know, like there's, you know, the element of chemistry that comes into cooking that I feel like my mum has probably got a better handle on than I have or he has, just in terms of, like, you know, the amount of fat there is in something and how long you want something to reduce for and, like, the water content and the amount of veg you're using and how all that blends together. Yeah. And she's got a real instinct for that in a way that, I mean, if he's listening, I'm sorry, guy, but he possibly doesn't have. But it definitely came from him, I think.
He's more of a, like, instinct, just riffing it, trying different things. And
He's, you know, Alexa, play the Who and air guitar whilst, you know, cooking the curry.
One of those guys.
Yeah, one of those guys. Yeah. My mum's constantly coming in and going, Alexa, quieter, please.
Yeah.
I think I'm both those guys.
Right.
Yeah. And the difference is if I have a beer while I'm cooking.
Sure.
So I can cook the first half an hour to 45 minutes of the preparation if it's a big meal. I'm so exact. It's all perfect. I'm pre-prepping. I'm getting everything chopped. I'm cleaning stuff as I go. Crack a beer open.
Yeah,
Alexa play the Who. Disaster.
Yeah, I got a terrible habit. Occasionally when I cook, I will do an Instagram story as I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And more often than not, I'll drink.
Yeah.
And it's never a good idea because by the start, I'm really kind of together. I sort of look quite nice, quite fresh, you know, and I'm being quite measured and considered. And by the end of it, oh my word, I just look like a sloppy mess. I'm swearing a bit, you know, telling people to get out of the kitchen.
It's completely hammered.
As if it's not dangerous enough to have a drink around an open flame.
I know.
So you're like, well, why don't we broadcast this to the public?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Never a good idea.
When cooking, thinking that idea of I'm going to have a drink while I'm doing this, oh, it feels so great.
Oh, it's amazing. Oh, yeah.
When it occurs to you, even if it's just a soft drink, I get excited to be like, while I'm cooking, I'm going to have a big old Diet Coke. I'm like, oh, brilliant. This is
going
to be way more fun.
To it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I sometimes say out loud when I have a little sip of a beer while I'm cooking?
I don't know.
Well, strap in for those. Treat for the chef.
Yeah, great. He says it out loud to himself.
Yeah. Because it feels like you're sneaking one in because you're doing all the work.
Yeah.
So you get a little extra treat.
It feels treat like someone should be grabbing the drink and pouring it in your mouth as you're stirring or chopping or something.
Yeah.
Treat for the chef.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she won't do it.
Yeah.
That's where the alligator could come in handy.
Exactly.
To be
honest. Yeah, you've been promoted.
Yeah. I don't think that's a promotion.
That alligator takes what it can get.
It sounds that way. Yeah.
Your dream side dish.
I mean, I feel like it should be something that complements a curry, but I'm not going to do that. And it's something that I think a lot of people might roll their eyes at and think it's a sort of actor-y cliche. But I am going to go for rock shrimp tempura from Nobu London Park Lane. And it's pretty, you know, I mean, I think it started there. I mean, you see that kind of thing in a lot of places now, but I'm fairly certain. Well, it was certainly one of the first places to do it, or they do it very, very well. And I think it's just chopped up prawns in a batter with rocket and a sort of creamy, like a spicy mayonnaise that they just mix up and serve to you, and you just pick at it with chopsticks. And it's quite light, but it also feels sort of decadent and battered and fried. And it's just lovely, and I love it.
Sounds great.
It's really good. Have you guys not done that?
I've never been.
I've been, but I didn't have that, I don't think.
No. Which one did you get? Did you go to the one in...
I've been to both.
In London?
Yeah, so there's the one that's opposite Hyde Park, right?
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
which is quite light and bright in there, and it feels like more of a sort of...
Yeah, yeah.
A less... like the other one is just you feel like you're a wag, you feel like you're with a footballer.
Yeah,
at all
I know
times.
What you mean, and I think I do really love Nobu, but it is got a kind of the food's always consistently really lovely, especially in that Park Lane one. But it does sometimes feel a bit like it's very in out, and it's got a kind of chaos to it.
Which is the one that Boris Becker got the waitress pregnant in the broom cupboard at?
Oh God, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, that's it, he.
I mean, it does have a sort of slight air of, you know, anything could happen here.
It maybe. Probably wasn't the Park Lane one, because that feels like a bit more like a sort of fun, like light and bright restaurant. There's a lot of windows, but...
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The other one's a sort of den of iniquity.
Yeah, that feels like more of a Boris Becker with the waitress in the broom cupboard.
Right, yeah.
Do you have to be cautious when eating Rocket in public now, in case someone shouts Rocket Man at you?
Because genuinely, when we were discussing secret ingredients, I did think maybe we'll go Rocket.
Oh, just on so the off chance that he's an egomaniac and starts to recite his credits.
No, I didn't take that just to have a link.
Sometimes we just try and make it link with the guests for secret ingredients, because we've done all the foods we actually hate now.
So
we might as well just make it link with the guests. It was very nearly Rocket. And, that could have been.
Imagine if I got kicked out.
You got kicked out with Jade Adams.
That would be terrible. Also, because I'm a fan of the show, I asked to come on. Yeah. So imagine asked to come on and get kicked out.
We would have felt bad.
Right. Yeah,
but we're lucky we didn't go Rocket. But it must be a thing where, like, if I was you and I was in public and I was bringing a spoonful of Rocket up to my mouth, I would expect someone to go Rocket Man.
Although I suppose from an adjacent table, it's quite difficult to identify the specific greenery you're eating, isn't it? Yeah. And I mean, imagine how foolish you'd look if it was a bit of spinach.
But people are having even if it's spinach, they're having a crack at
They're going to have a go.
Because like you can't. It's kind of almost more undignified that you come back with it's spinach, you idiot. You know,
yeah,
like, you know,
exactly.
That
doesn't
make sense. I win.
The spinach. And they'll just call you Popeye or something. I was reaching
for that, but you beat me to it.
Because you are a sailor.
Exactly.
So that would make sense.
I can't keep up. Yeah.
Also, I guess, it's a pretty successful role for you. So it doesn't matter if someone shouts Rocket Man at you. Probably a nice little reminder.
No, it's lovely. It's not, you know, I'm very happy to be associated with
you're
it.
You're eating a Nobu. You're having your favourite dish in Nobu.
Yeah.
You know, what's the problem if someone shouts Rocket Man?
Yeah, get over yourself.
And I guess you could ask Elton, like, you know, do you eat Rocket in public, Elton? Because Elton must not go near it.
Yeah, he can't. He doesn't.
Probably learned that in 1978, didn't he?
Yeah, people were sending
Was Rocket, do you reckon people were eating Rocket when a widespread one?
No, not when the song came out.
I mean, I bet it took years for people to get on board with Rocket. Because it's a funny thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's good, but it is bitter.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet initially when it came out,
Rocket was released.
When it was released, say it was 1978, I bet people didn't appreciate the genius
of it. They tried to get Elton on board to do the advert?
Yeah.
To promote
Rocket.
I mean, if they didn't, they missed the trick. Yeah.
They were bringing him around the clock. There's no way they weren't.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, Elton, please.
Yeah.
Please do the advert. say you're a Rocket Man and then put a spoonful of Rocket in your mouth. That's all we need you to do. Well, I'm not going to do it. Forget it. Earlier when I asked you what you were putting your mayo on, I was hoping you were going to say Rocket or salad.
Right, no. Would I have it on a bit of salad? I probably wouldn't have it on salad. Oh, do you know what? I might make a dressing with a bit of mayo in for a salad dressing, but I probably wouldn't squirt mayo on a salad.
Sure. The shrimp sounds great.
Yeah.
The thing about it is it's when you go there, I think it's expensive to eat there, so it depends what you want out of it. Like, I don't know. Sometimes it can feel like it's quite in and out for the money it is. So I think it's nice to go with a bit of a gang and make it feel like a little bit of an event because it's you know, I know people who eat there every day. Like it's a bit like, you know, going for fast food for uber wealthy people.
Mm.
But it's nice to sort of save it, I think, and treat it as a special thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a place called Shack Fu Yu, which we've mentioned a lot on the podcast.
I follow them on Instagram, but I've never eaten there. And I followed them just because their sandwiches look so alluring.
Oh, they're so good.
Yeah.
The katsu sando.
They do a katsu sando. Yeah, that's my end of the market.
I've been there and they've done a rabbit's katsu sando as well.
Wow.
Which is exceptional.
Wow. And don't they do one dessert, right? They do a matcha toast thing.
Yeah.
French toast, Which, like, that's the thing now, because you're saying about going to a place a lot. Like, I've been there so much that now there's a lady who works there and she's working there. If I've had my main course, she'll just get the French toast ready. And if I don't want it, I feel real bad guy because I'm like, I'd rather not. She's like, what?
Yeah.
But you love it.
You love the French toast. I'm like, oh, not today. Yeah. But I went there yesterday with a friend who he hadn't been there before.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, let's just go. Because like, if someone hasn't been there and I don't really know what that friend likes to eat, really, they're going to have stuff on that menu that he likes. It was a bit embarrassing yesterday because all the waiting staff, I knew them all by name. I was saying hello to them all and stuff. And he went, no, you really do come here a lot. Like, yeah. Your dream drink.
I mean, contrary to what I said about gassy liquids. I do like a beer.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do. And at the moment, the one I like is called Saturday Lager.
Oh, never heard of this?
It's in a white tin, very plain, and they have a range of seven drinks, and one's named after each day of the week. I can't remember the name of the brewery, but they sell it in Waitrose, and I think I'd just have a can of that, maybe.
I can visualise the can. I think I know.
It's easy to visualise. It's just white.
But with black writing on
tiny
it.
Tiny little plain black writing. And then I think each of the other ones...
Is a different colour,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
Who's the brewery, Benito?
That's right. And Union, that's the one. Mm. Yeah.
Excellent. So what makes it a nice lager?
Well, I've tried to be... I've always liked a beer, but I've never been somebody that's really kind of graduated into more kind of complex, sophisticated beers. You know, like I just like a sort of nice, sort of full-bodied lager, mm-hmm. really. You know, maybe something that's a little bit cloudy and but I don't like bitters and things like that. I've tried. Bitters really don't agree with me in the way that they don't agree with a lot of people that we don't need to go into detail about. But
we need the alligator, basically.
We need the alligator. Yeah, yeah. The alligator, yeah, with a mop and bucket, maybe.
Yeah.
This poor alligator's got so many more jobs now.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God. Put down the trumpet and get the mop.
Free for the chef.
Just a simple, nice beer, I think.
Do you only drink it on a Saturday? Have you ever had it on another day of the week?
I probably have. I mean, I try and only drink on the weekend.
Because mm-hmm.
when I've got some specific day pants.
Right.
And whenever I go outside of the system,
yeah.
I do genuinely think in my head, I'm being a real rebel today.
Yeah.
If I'm putting Wednesday pants on a Sunday, I think... This is, what are you doing, you madman?
Yeah.
Do you feel out of whack for the day? Or do you just feel like a nonconformist?
I just feel like a bit of a punk, to be honest.
Do you?
Yeah.
Rebel.
Because I think, maybe it's unlucky. And then I think, no, you've got to take your fate into your own hands. I'm wearing the Tuesdays on a Thursday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so your pants don't forget who's in charge.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's the whole thing, right?
Yeah. What you mean? It's a lovely drink, the Saturday beer.
Yeah.
I think lager and curry, you can't really go wrong.
Oh, that's a
good mix.
Well.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't know whether... Obviously, we're always told that that's a good mix. And I think I might have, when I first had it, forced myself to enjoy it because everyone told me it was a nice mix. But
because you're at the age where you didn't enjoy beer,
yeah,
but felt you should to be a real man, whatever. Yeah.
Beautiful. But I like weird beers now.
Do you?
Because I can only stomach... A couple of beers now. I used to be able to drink like 10 beers.
See, I'm trying to cultivate that in myself. That thing of, you know, listen to your body. You've had two beers. You feel full. You really don't need a third beer.
Yeah.
Now's the time to segue into something like a nice vodka soda, you know, and something that's a little bit lighter. And I could still easily be the kind of guy who'll go out and guzzle a bunch of beers. But I'm really trying not to be because it just feels a little bit juvenile for a man in his 30s.
Uh-oh. We're older than you, and
no, but I would have like now. I'd have like a weird sour beer or something.
Yeah,
would you?
I'd love some.
Really?
James got me into them.
I got him into them, and then I probably don't even like them as much now. Ed's, the baton has been handed over.
I've had experiences like that. So I feel like, you know, with the craft beer kind of explosion thing that happened a few years ago. The IPA became a real thing, didn't it? Mm. It looked like a contender to the lager.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time I had one, I thought, oh my, I drink IPAs now. This is me. this is my new identity.
Yeah.
But it tapered off.
Right.
And I came home.
Okay, on a Saturday.
I
was thinking the other day, I went to Mikella. It's a really fantastic brewery called Mikella. It's a Danish brewery, but they got a place in London. And I went for a beer there, and Rob Beckett came to join us, the comedian Rob Beckett. And I felt immediately embarrassed when Rob turned up because I was drinking a passion fruit beer, and he is the most straight down the line bloke you'll ever meet in your life.
Yeah, he's quite a sort of South London geezer, isn't he?
I was like, oh no. And he's like, what are you drinking?
Yeah.
I went, passion fruit beer. He went, what the fuck? Like, got really angry at me. And the waiter came out to take his order, and Rob went, I don't want that. What's the closest thing you got to Amstel?
Really? Yeah.
And then his friend turned up. He used to be a boxer. God, I felt so embarrassed.
Yeah. How do you handle those situations?
You've
got
to own it.
I tend to stay quite quiet. That's the way I like to sort of try and handle it when I'm with the guys. Yeah. You know? Yeah. As soon as I get overexcited or keen or someone directly sort of engages me, I don't stand the test very
long. Just crumble.
But then you've done action films and stuff where you've been like jumping around kicking people's faces in.
So they must
think of you, oh.
He's a real guy. I'm endlessly disappointing to people. You know, I often get asked, you know, who my team is and all that. And I'm being Welsh, often get asked about rugby and did I play rugby when I was younger. And I just can't. I mean, I've now arrived at an age where I also can't be bothered to pretend, you know.
Yeah.
So if someone now asks me, you know, who my team is or whether I like football, I can't even summon the energy, really. I really don't like football. Yeah. And I just don't want to have this conversation with you.
We arrive at your dream dessert.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Okay.
Shall I polish up the spoon? I think you should.
I think it's good. So my favourite dessert is a pecan pie.
Mm, lovely.
And I've spent two extended periods of time, like months, in New Orleans for work. And both times, I'm not sure if the pecan pie is a native thing to New Orleans. I think it might be a state other than Louisiana. It might be Texas. I can't remember exactly
which
where.
Which one is the pecan? There's a pecan state, isn't there?
Yeah, I don't know.
Benito's going to be Googling that, the pecan state.
But it feels like a sort of general thing, right? I think it's
something that's kind of been embraced by the South in general.
Yeah.
And they just have amazing pecan pie in New Orleans. And I was there for 6 months last year, and a lady named Anne Morgan, who I was working with on the production, who is a hair designer, a hairdresser, she bought me some pecan pie from a place called Windowsill Pies New Orleans. Lovely. And she also bought the most incredible ice cream from a place I can't remember the name of. But the pie is the main event, and it was just insane. So sort of crunchy and buttery and delicious, and with a big dollop of really good, you know, vanilla bean ice cream or something, you know. It's really, really special. A little bit warm as well.
Yeah.
You know, like nicely out of the oven with ice cream on top. That's my idea of a real good time.
Pie culture in America. We've never captured it here, right?
Oh, we've never captured it.
Sweet pies.
Yeah.
Totally. And that's another one. She actually was very decadent. There was a bunch of us on the makeup bus, and she bought, I think, a cherry one, a pecan one, and then also a sweet potato one, which I found it quite difficult to imagine, but was really good. So that's the thing that came to mind. I really do love a pecan pie, and this one from Windowsill Pies was exceptional.
I love the name of Windowsill Pies.
It's great, isn't it?
Evocative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine a little fat boy in a comic book stealing it off the window.
I'd love to steal a pie off a windowsill.
You bloody would steal a pie off a windowsill.
I would. If I was walking along and I saw a pie calling on a windowsill, I think I'd steal it.
I'd love to read a comic about you stealing a pie off a windowsill.
Yeah. I'd love it. I love cherry pies.
Yeah.
So remember when we were in America with our friends?
Yeah.
And we walked, it was over an hour.
It was about an hour and a half,
maybe,
I think.
Yeah. It was a long way. To, you know, following the Google Maps or whatever to where the pie shop was, because we all wanted.
LA, was it?
New York. And we were like, we really want a cherry pie. Googled where the best one was, found it on the maps, walked all the way there, and it was shut.
Yeah. Did you get a pie?
We didn't that day. I don't think we got a cherry pie.
That's a nightmare. Have you ever done Junior's? Is it Junior's Cheesecake in New York? I think it's Junior's Cheesecake.
No,
that is. There's a place called Junior's in New York, and they do a strawberry cheesecake, and it's the best cheesecake I've ever had. I mean, it's insane. Wow. So the next time you go, highly recommend Junior's
cheesecake. What makes
cheesecake.
It so good?
I mean, if I knew that, I'd be making it every day. I don't know, but it's delicious. Delicious.
All right, we're going to have to manipulate another trip to record podcasts.
Yeah, I have to go there again. I'm going to read your menu back to you now, see how you feel about it.
Okay.
Still water. You want poppadoms with chutney and the writer lime pickle, but save some to crumble. Starter, mushrooms in a bag from Social Eating House. Main course, Mum's Lamb Madras. Crumble the poppadom over the top. Side, rock shrimp tempura from Nobu, London Park Lane. Drink, and Union Saturday Lager. Dessert, pecan pie with vanilla bean ice cream from Windowsill Pies in New Orleans.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, I feel good about it.
I really want to try the pie, most of all. Actually, I also want to try your mum's curry.
I want to try the madras, for sure. Well, thank you so much for coming to the Dream Restaurant, Taron.
Thank you, Taron.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been lovely.
There we are.
Whoa.
Thanks so much for coming in, Taron. That was a great episode, I think.
Great episode and, like, really, really visual. You know, you got the mayonnaise belt there, the cast of Robin Hood.
The quiver, the mayonnaise quiver. It's great.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on.
The alligator.
Yes, the alligator with the
trumpet. There was a lot going on there. I loved that episode so much. And a great menu at the heart of it. A great menu at the heart of it.
Yeah, a lot of stuff I'd like to try there.
Yeah. And no Turkish delight, so we didn't need to have that argument.
Yeah, fair enough. I think we should have asked him anyway which of the two he prefers, actually. If he's on a team chocolate or team no choc.
Yeah, we were so close to picking Rocket for that.
We were so close to picking Rocket. And, you know, I'm glad that we didn't, because we got to hear about the pecan pie.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I always do get excited about the prospect of kicking anyone else. Yeah. So.
Or Eagle. We could have picked Eagle. Imagine if we picked Eagle and he picked Eagle.
And he did pick it.
Roast Eagle.
Yeah.
That would have been awful. Please. And don't forget that Taron is in Blackbird on Apple TV Plus, which is out now, a psychological thriller for your mind and your heart.
Caw-caw, caw-caw! The Blackbird. Ed, are you doing anything?
Yes, I'm on tour, James. Edgamble.co.uk for tickets.
Yes.
Check it out.
Electric, it's called.
It's called Electric. It's a lot of fun. Come along.
You can pre-order my book, James Acaster's Guide to Quitting Social Media, Being the Best You Can Be and Curing Yourself of Loneliness, Volume 1, wherever you get your books. Unless it's already out. If it's August or after August, it's already out. You can buy it.
Buy it. I loved it.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you very much for listening to the Off Menu Podcast. We've got plenty more amazing guests to come.
It's going to be scrumptious.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah, if people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.